Do not fear to be your true self, for everything you want, wants you. Genevieve Barand.
I need some motivation. Every day I try a little harder, but my dedication. Keep my head way, way above the water. Crying myself when I yell at the wall. Begging to run, but I needed to crawl. I see the finish line up ahead. Trying to get traction from all of this tread.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back. Welcome back to the podcast that helps you be the leader. I'm Jeremiah Sullivan, and I'm your host. If this is your first time tuning in, this is what's ahead. We're going to talk about strategies and tactics. They're going to help you succeed. We're going to cover the areas of leadership, mindset, success, goal setting and achievement, and just overall winning. And the purpose of this podcast is to not just equip you to win, but it's to equip you to win at a higher level so that your team can too. And this is not a solo podcast. I am joined by my co-host, the Podfather himself, Mr. Consistency. The Justin Phillips, the Mr. Justin Phillips. Come on in, dude. What's up?
The Mr. Justin Phillips.
Yeah, like the Mr. Justin Phillips, Mr. Consistency, the Podfather himself. What else? Justin Time.
The best damn podcast co-host on the face of the earth ever.
That's right. I did a Facebook Live yesterday, and I said that Facebook Live was going to be the best one on the face of the planet. And I was such a bold announcement, huh?
Yeah, well,
you gotta have something to
say. Unless
it really was good. All right, so Justin, what do we want to dive into today? Let's cut right into it, my man. What's the topic of the day?
We want to dive into long-term goals. We want to dive into specifically how to stay focused on your long-term goals, and we're going to start with a little bit of how to actually craft that vision or those goals for yourself in the first place.
Hell yeah, listener. Boys, girls, ladies, gentlemen, all you guys tuning in right now, I want you to take a second as we dive into this topic and ask yourself, do you have a clear vision for the future? Do you have clear goals picked out for you? Or are you a lot like that ship that's out at sea with no compass, just wandering around? Because if you don't have massive clarity, you're going to want to tune in today. And if you do have clarity, you're going to want to listen in anyway, because we're going to talk about staying the course on the way to the big goals that you have as well. So I'm excited, Justin. This is going to be a great subject to dive into, dude.
I agree.
I know, because you created it. No, it's a good subject, man.
I only create the best.
Any relevant updates on your side, like in your personal life, that are going on that we want to catch up on before we dive in?
Not really. I've got some stuff like happening, but I don't think anything that's too worth mentioning yet.
Okay. On my side, it's the same old, same old. I'm actually on the backside of the 6-month sprint that I did in 2023. I've spent the last couple of weeks really just getting things optimized in my life, whether it's my workout routine, whether it's the business, whether it's my family and fun life, you know, all that type of stuff. I've just been working on getting that stuff back in an orderly way. You know, it's very nice when you have a flow to your day and your week and everything like that. And everything just like starts running like clockwork. You know, I love that so much. Yeah. I really don't have anything else to dive into. I was going to mention something about the dogs, but let's just forego that and just dive in today, even though I know the listeners do love to hear about my pup sometimes.
Okay. Yeah. So let's start with this. Let's start with, you work with people on this type of stuff all the time, right? You don't just do this podcast. You sit down one-on-one with people, you sit down one-to-many with people, and you are helping people craft their goals all the time. You're helping people try to pivot this, that, and the other. What do you find is the biggest struggle for people when you sit down? You're like, what are your goals?
Yeah. To kind of put what you just said into a shorter statement for people that maybe are new to me and everything that I do. Guys, if you're new to Jeremiah Sullivan as an entrepreneur, what I do is I help people and businesses get what they want. That's essentially the short of what I do, you know, in simple form. That comes in a lot of different ways. You know, sometimes I teach on leadership, sometimes I teach on mindset, overall success. But yeah, Justin, you're exactly right. When I work with somebody, the main thing that I'm doing with them is I'm getting clear about the outcome that they want in their life. Okay. And when I sit down with somebody, sometimes they have clear goals. Sometimes they don't have any goals. They're not really sure which way to go. But either way, I find in both types of people that what most people are looking for is they're trying to fill a gap and a void in their life. They're trying to create a feeling. Okay. So the main thing that I noticed about people when I started working with them is they're usually chasing a symptom of the problem. Mm-hmm. So for example, maybe they want to make more money and they're trying to figure out ways to do that. Well, the reason why they're trying to make more money is because they don't feel significant. They don't feel important and they want to feel important. They want to feel proud of themselves, or maybe they want to feel freedom. They think money means freedom. So it's the meaning that they've attached to the outcome. So what I do with somebody really is I sit down with them and I ask them a lot of questions. When I first start out, I start asking them, what are they working towards? Where have they been? What are the challenges that are in their way? And I really just start peeling the onion back on their life and what's going on. And my goal with somebody is if they can be vulnerable with me, we can get to the core of what they're missing in their life and we can actually create a plan to get it. And typically when we figure out what they're actually after, the money starts taking care of itself and it's really not the main thing that they're chasing. And a small example of that is that a lot of people will say that their goal is that they want to earn more. But what they're really struggling with is that they don't have the roadmap to earning more. So they would be a lot happier. Yeah, they want the money, but they would be a lot happier if they had a path to success. And that feeling gives them a sense of certainty. It makes them feel like they're making progress versus spinning in circles. Okay, some of the most miserable people that I've ever met in my life were people that felt like they weren't making progress. They're like, oh, I'm stuck. I'm spinning. I'm not getting what I want. What the hell is going on? And they can't figure out why they feel the way that they feel. So that's usually what it starts with. And the way that I uncover what they're missing is through questioning. But then also I use the Conquer Wheel of Life, which has all the different dimensions of life that makes up a person. And we start auditing all those different areas, like their fun and recreation, philanthropy, finances, career, romance, friends and family. And when I have them do an assessment on that Conquer Wheel of Life, usually the person's like, holy hell, I didn't realize I had all these gaps in my entire life, you know? And then they get real. We have a real conversation about what they really want. And then we prioritize those things. We put a plan into place. So that's usually how it starts.
How often are you finding that the situation is like a big domino type of thing? Like if they have a lot of gaps in their life, are you usually trying to come up with like multiple plans to fill in multiple gaps? Or does it usually come back to kind of one thing that they're missing that you can orient towards and go towards that?
Well, a lot of times the people that I'm working with, the reason why they're the main thing that shows up when they get on a call with me is that they're stuck and frustrated. And usually that's a byproduct of living in a state of fear and uncertainty and indecision. Okay. So what I really am helping them with when I start working is getting clear about the decisions that they need to make and start making moving forward. Like, for example, I had this one guy, he was a social media influencer and he wasn't doing so well financially. And we started working together and I started looking at him and I looked at his brand and I'm like, dissected his history in business. And I realized that he had success in the past, like years ago, selling merchandise through his social media. He was selling like swag and stuff like that. And I was like, bro, why aren't you doing that now? I was like, that would fix your financial issues. Plus you have previous success doing it. And he said, well, when I did it before, the person that I was buying the material from, the swag from, they increased their prices on me after I had already gotten the orders from my supporters and followers on social media. Long story short is I ended up in the hole and I was in a negative, you know, I lost money on the transaction versus making money. And he's like, that's why I haven't done it again. And I said, okay, so what you're telling me is that you had a metaphorical like stove, one of the stove tops in your kitchen, like one of those turned on and you touched it and it was hot, right? You're like, oh shit, that's hot. And then you turned it off and you went about your way. And now all of a sudden, every time you go into the kitchen, you won't touch that same stove top because you're fearing that it's hot, right? And he's like, damn, you're right. And I was like, yeah. So you're just basically assuming that if you do this again, you're going to have the same problem. I was like, so you're living in a state of fear, you know? And then we start dissecting that a little bit further. I'm like, what else are you scared of? And we start talking about that some more. And long story short is we realized that he was holding himself back. And so that's really what I do, is I get people out of their own way and get them to make decisions about what they actually want, you know?
So that's a good story for the topic of, you know, basically how do you not get screwed by a setback, I think, is what a lot of people have a problem with. And also with the kind of rude awakening for a lot of people when you find that thing you're passionate about or you're really interested in for a while, right? That first time that it starts to go wrong, or that first time that you start to dread doing it. I mean, I did that shit with video and whatnot too, is that it's like, oh yeah, this is cool, this is a new thing that I'm doing, and then I really like it. And then there does eventually come a point where I'm just like, I don't want to edit a goddamn video today, you know, type of thing. So what do you find is the best way to help people through those emotional setbacks, or like in the story that you just described, that's a much more like tangible setback if you're losing money over it?
Yeah, so whenever a problem shows up in somebody's life, one of the main things that I do with them is I have them describe and share with me what the opposite of that problem would be. It's one of my little coaching techniques. Okay, I did this with actually my brother. One of my brothers is a sales professional, and he was working in this job. He's a contractor, so he's self-employed, and they changed his commission structure. And it was looking, the company was going through a tough time. And so what they were trying to do is tighten up on their margins. And he's like one of the top performers, you know, he's like outperforming every single, he's outperforming the entire team. He's selling more product than multiple people. And then they're going to trim back on, he's performing really, really well, making, you know, closing all kinds of crazy deals, to put it, I don't want to talk numbers. But bottom line is that he's outperforming the entire team as an individual, and the company comes in and they start cutting his commissions. So to him, it felt like he was being reprimanded for doing a good job.
Yeah.
Right. And he's like, man, what is this? And he starts getting super negative, right? This happens to everybody in all areas of life. Something happens, some adversity strikes. And next thing you know, you go down a path of poor me. Why is this happening to me? I don't want to do this anymore. And all the negatives start showing up. And the funny thing is the more negative you look for, the more you find. So for him, he developed a lot of assumptions. He started believing that the company was punishing him, and that he was making too much money, and that they wanted to hold him back. It was kind of like a conspiracy type of belief, right? But he was just, this is how it goes being a human. You start to make shit a bigger deal in your head than it actually is when it happens, right? Okay, so I'm at his house when this happens, and I pull him aside, and he's like venting to me. And I said, well, listen, dude, they're cutting your commissions. And I was like, and they sent him a new contract to sign to agree to it. And I said, don't sign the contract. I said, let's pause, relax, because when you're angry, you're actually dumber. Okay. That's just a scientific fact. Okay, all the blood's going to your muscles and not your brain when you're angry. And I'm like, now think about and tell me what the polar opposite would be. I'm like, every situation has an opposite and equal. Right? There's an up of this table, there's a down of the table, and it's always proportional too. Like the distance from my desk table to the floor is short, whereas the distance from the top of the table to the ceiling is tall. So there's always a proportional equal and opposite. And he was like, that's ridiculous. He's like, I don't want to write the opposite of them taking my money. That would mean they would be giving me more money. That's so ridiculous. And I said, well, just tell me what it would be. He said, well, instead of cutting my commission down, they would double it, and I would get a more aggressive bonus structure. And I said, okay, so tell them that's what you want. He's like, that's ridiculous. I can't do that. And he thought about it for a little bit. He put his ego aside and he started rationalizing and reasoning. And he decided that he was going to propose a different pay structure that helped them and helped him. What ended up happening from that little short discussion is he doubled his salary with one conversation. I don't really want to go into his numbers, but instead of getting his commissions cut in half, he got his commissions basically doubled, with a bonus structure built in that was contingent upon his performance. Okay. So in other words, he actually had to do an even better job to get twice as much salary. It was kind of like a double or nothing situation, right? He's like, he has to either rise up and he's going to win great, or if he stays the same, he's going to get like not nearly as much money as he had planned. But point being with all this is that what I do with somebody is I always get, humans have a pattern and a physiology to look for the negative. All right. So Justin, when you are weighing a situation, you actually weigh that situation. You give the negative twice the weight of the positive. So if I say what sounds like it holds more weight, losing $1,000 or gaining $1,000? Well, losing $1,000 holds more weight for most people, the loss, right? So your brain goes that way all the time. So my job is to like help redirect and teach these people how to think in a positive way that actually propels them to a bigger and better situation. I do that in a lot of different ways. I use my mental Gerber tool, which I teach in Conquer Academy quite a bit, to help people with imagination, perspective, willpower, all these different type of things. But that's the solution in a situation like that, is I take somebody from the negative and I point them at the positive, and then we build up a vision for all of that, and then we get them into a plan of action that helps them realize it.
This is a little bit of a side note, but could you speak on, kind of flip the script on that same story you just told, and what would you say to the company that your brother was working for? Because I see a lot of situations in life with that, like where people almost feel like they're being punished for doing a good job. Do you see that happening too often and think it should stop?
It's not actually happening. When people are feeling like they're being punished, they're taking whatever adversity is going on in their company personal.
Yeah.
Okay. When a human fails, they take it personal. Why me? Or if a loved one in their family dies, okay, that's a horrible thing to experience. What happens? They say, oh, why? Poor me. When the fact of the matter is, it has nothing to do with them. It's just something that happened. Okay, so humans, we're really, really good at attaching meaning to stuff. Almost really good at doing it blindly too. And it's funny because we're not really good at predicting the future. Humans are actually really horrible about predicting the future, but we're really good at attaching meaning to things. So in like my brother's example, he didn't know what the hell that they were working towards. All he did was he got a notification that his pay was going to be changed. And he started predicting the future. Oh, they're trying to squeeze me out of the job. I'm making too much money. They're going to fire me next, right? He started predicting the future, and none of that was true. And then he attached a meaning to the thing that was going on. He said, oh, they're out to get me. They're punishing me. Oh, that's what this means. No. It's none of those things. You were just dealt. It's just a shitty thing that happened. It's a byproduct. Charlie Munger called it a Lollapalooza, where a Lollapalooza is basically where you have a bunch of macro and micro events or activities that all compile, and then a thing happens, right? It's like a serendipitous moment. You could say, like the creation of man, however you want to argue this, could be considered a Lollapalooza. A bunch of things happen, and then boom, man was created, right? So to your question about, do I see that a lot? I see a lot of people complaining about their situation a lot, but the reality is that nobody's really out to get you. Nobody is punishing you. It's just people are doing the best that they can with what they have, trying to make tough decisions. And then humans, we take things personal.
Fair enough.
Yeah.
So, okay. So overall point was, what the hell did you just say? Like, what would the opposite of the problem be?
Yeah. So if you're in a tough situation, what you need to do is start like audit and look at what you don't like about the situation, and then describe the polar opposite.
Okay.
Okay. So if you can describe the polar opposite, then you can create clarity around what you want. So Justin, for your example, if you're sitting there and you're like doing videos and you're like, man, I'm so freaking sick and tired of editing videos. And you're like, I don't want another video. And all you can keep thinking about is all the videos you got to edit. Okay. So let's stop thinking about editing videos and let's think about the positive. So the positive would be, okay, I'm not editing videos anymore. Not only that, but I'm getting paid twice as much more. I have more time and somebody else is editing all my videos. That seems crazy. That's irrational. But look at, now we have a target. And I could say, okay, well, what if I could actually put a system into place to make this happen? Would I want to take on the projects then? Whatever, you know? And chances are the person will say, yeah. So it's really, you know, what we're doing is we're activating imagination in that example. A lot of people don't really activate their imagination to get what they want. They activate their imagination to focus on what they don't want. So part of success and goal achieving, which is what we're talking about here today, is building up an image of what you want inside of your mind and staying committed and focused to it, right? I did a post recently that said, your imagination is Aladdin's lamp. Okay, that's really important. Think about that. Your imagination is Aladdin's lamp. And if your imagination is Aladdin's lamp, what would you think and wish for? You see what I'm saying? So in life, our realities and our worlds, like your situation, Justin, the listener's situation, the world that they're living in, is it didn't happen by accident. It's actually happened through thinking. You thought about yourself every step of the way. You thought about what's the next logical, next best step. And you took the step and that created the reality that you live in. So thinking is what creates reality. Thoughts become things. This is one of the greatest powers that humans have. It's like almost like godlike. It's amazing. You know, the microphone that you're talking on, the one that I'm speaking on, the video, all this stuff that's around us was all built first by somebody building it up in their mind first and then choosing to meet that vision with physical action and build it with their hands. So every situation, like humans are creators at our core. So one of my jobs with people and businesses is to create, right? My job is to get rid of all the negative stuff that they don't want in their life and then get clear about all the positive things that they want in their business, in their personal life, and then let's make that the reality. And you know, sometimes people ask me where I get the credentials for doing that. Well, one, I got a great track record of doing this for others. But if you don't like my track record with other people, look at the track record in my life.
Yeah.
You know, I grew up in a town of 300 people. Then I joined the military where everybody was in charge of me. I left the military and I was responsible for 130 soldiers. You know, I got into the infantry, got into special operations. I became a ranger. Then I became a company commander, then entrepreneur. Now I'm living this life. I told everybody I was going to be doing what I'm doing now. I told them way long ago before anybody had any real belief that it should happen. I said, I'm going to be flying around. Go ahead.
How long is way long ago? What I want to dig up here is like, have all of those, did those stack one on top of the other? Because it was like, first I joined the army, you know, then came a point where I envisioned being in the special forces. And then after that, like, did they keep stacking up that way? Or did you always have the vision to come out, be an entrepreneur, do what you're doing now? Like, how long ago did that vision come about?
I'll answer this question. Why is that question so important to you?
Because for one, I think I can just feel lost. I feel like my vision keeps evolving, right? Like over and over. And that's part of what can be frustrating about trying to stay the course is this, like, when is it actually the right time to pivot? All that type of stuff.
Okay.
But it's like, you know, at first, my story is I started doing media in college because I wanted to be able to like afford to go to Applebee's with my friends on Friday night. Like, sure. You know, that was the vision at that point. And then it turned into like, oh, maybe I can do this full time. And then I did do it for full time for a while out of college. I'm doing it full time now, you know, again. But then there's pieces that were never a vision either. Like travel was something that was never really in my vision per se. I'm just not the type of person that loves traveling and all this type of stuff. Yeah. It's cool, you know, and I enjoy it. But, you know, that just kind of came about. But my point being is like, I wasn't sitting in my dorm room, like I'm going to be a travel filmmaker, you know, someday or do this type of thing. It was always like that next kind of digestible vision.
Yeah.
And
well,
I want to know if you,
what happened in your situation is you started off with vision. And then along the way you started reacting to other people's visions. Okay. When you make decisions, a lot of times people make decisions off of intuition. What feels right. Okay. My belief is that your intuition is tied to your imagination. It's trying to take you towards your heart's desire. I believe it's all subconscious, right? There's something inside of you that wants to be expressed and your intuition is like the mechanism that takes you there. But people also make decisions based off of reason. Okay. If you're very left brain, very like analytical, which you are, you're a numbers guy, you're a finance major. You're going to look at life a lot through pros and cons. Should I take the opportunity and fly or should I not? Well, how are you going to make that decision? You're not going to make it from a place of imagination. You're going to make it from a place of, do I want the money? Yes or no. It's very left brain decision. For myself, I make a lot of decisions from my right brain, from imagination. I launched 33 hours, right? 33 hours is my men's selection event. It's not a very, I don't make a ton of money off of that event, but I do it because it's very impactful and very fulfilling for myself. Okay. It makes a difference. The reason why I say yes to it isn't because of reason, isn't because I'm going to make money or it's a good use of my time. It's actually, you could argue it's a bad use of my time. but I can see where it's going, right? So I'm making the decision from a place of imagination. I'm saying yes, because it fits my image of personal success. Okay, so to your question about, have I always had the vision of being where I'm at now? The answer to that is no. And this is something that every listener should probably listen to over and over and over again. Your results and your vision should always be under construction. Always. Not a day should go by where you're not upgrading and updating the results that you want, the goals that you have, the vision that's inside of your mind, and you're not working to develop it and make it even bigger and better. Because what ends up happening, sometimes when I work with people one-on-one, they've gotten to a destination that they've once imagined. I worked with this guy one time that he sold his company for a few million dollars. I think it was like $5 million. And after he sold, he was completely lost. He was like, I have no idea what to do next, man. He's like, I'm over here. I sold it and I thought it was going to be the greatest thing in the world, but I'm over here. I'm bored. And he's like, I got all this money in the bank. And I don't know what to do with it. He's like, I'm just drifting. Now, that's kind of a good problem to have, right?
Yeah.
But at the same time,
I'd say so.
The reason why he was in that rut, you know, but how he felt wasn't very good. So you could argue that that guy with $5 million in the bank and no purpose, no direction is just as miserable as the homeless guy on the street. You know, he felt the same type of way. It's because feelings are relative to the person. But point being with him is that the reason why he got to that point is that he had been so focused on one goal. When he got close to it, he never upgraded his vision to expand past it. He never started searching in advance. Okay, so I like to basically dream catch. Okay, is how I see it. I'm going to screw up this word. A trellis? So basically there's these, and if you ever watched Extreme Elimination, ever watch that game? It's like a competitive obstacle course game where they like have an elimination based off of people that do the obstacle courses, right? So they're going to have these two teams compete against each other. They're going to race for time to get from one side of the obstacle course to the other side. And then along the way, there's going to be obstacles like monkey bars, and they're going to like scale the monkey bars to get to the other side. And if they slip, they fall into the water. Have you seen that?
No.
No. Okay.
Well, sounds awesome.
Okay. Well, either way, let's just use monkey bars as an example, because think of scaling and climbing through monkey bars, right? Mm-hmm. Well, one of the obstacles, it's like monkey bars, except the bars that they grab onto are vertical, not horizontal. Okay. So they go straight up and down, and imagine trying to hold onto that and swing from one to the next, to the next, to the next to get across. It's pretty difficult. Sure. Okay. Well, in life, what I've done, or I've strived to do, is grab onto those poles and swing from one to the next, right? All the way down. Mm-hmm. But what happens with a lot of people is they grab onto one of those poles and they fail to reach for the next one. And then they get tired, fatigued, and they end up falling down into the water and they freaking drown, right? So I think it's important that if somebody is going through that, everybody should take inventory right now of where they see themselves going in life and upgrade and update it. And then be also along the way, be happy and grateful that you created the reality that you're living now.
Yeah.
Like, you can't forget that, right? If I'm always dissatisfied that I'm not where I want to be, well, guess what? A high achiever, they keep moving the target. You know what I'm saying? So you never show up where you want to be, because you're always moving the vision. You're always like, you know what? I'll be happy when I get over there. I'll be happy when I make $1,000, $10,000, $100,000, $1,000,000, $10 million. And it just keeps moving and moving and moving. And you forget to stop and be like, bro, when are you going to be happy that you did what you said you were going to do?
No, that's a good point. And I think, and that goes for a lot of areas outside of, you know, I want to just remember to break away from the money thing every so often too. But there's a lot of people that envision themselves with families. There's a lot of people that envision themselves living in a certain area, you know, whatever it is their whole life. And then they end up getting there and you just kind of sit, you know, in the bigger box or in the freaking faster wagon. And you're like, there's still that something missing.
Yeah.
But I do know for a lot of people, it is, you know, there's something to be said about, like, would 5 years ago you be happy with where you are right now? For a lot of people, the answer is yeah, probably.
Yeah, you should. You should be happy about it and also dissatisfied. You know, that whole thing that they talk about, be blissfully dissatisfied, happy with where you're at, dissatisfied with where you're at the same time. I think that's important. You know, you really just want to stay hungry in life. You want to be constantly hungry. Mm-hmm. That's where you get the most happiness. But the other thing I'll say on this is that, two things. First one is, it's going to take a certain amount of time for you to get from one dream to the next. When I switched from enlisted soldier to 75th Ranger, I came into the military in 2005. It took me 9 years to land that job. 9 years. Okay, really think about this, because people share how long it takes them to be successful all the time. And a lot of times you hear people talk about these overnight successes. I don't know anybody that's truly successful where it happened overnight. Okay. Everybody I know, it took decade plus. And that was true for me to get into the Ranger Regiment. 9 years of dream chasing, holding a vision in my mind, thinking about it all the time, dealing with the failures, dealing with the adversity, trying to enjoy myself on a daily basis, being pissed off that I'm not where I want to be, all that type of stuff. Okay. So you have to be patient along the way. And you have to enjoy the journey is what, you know, they always tell you it's not about the destination. It's about the journey. But what they're really trying to say is that it's going to take you. Why would you want to waste 9 years and not enjoy the life that you have and that you're living and enjoy the days that you have and have some fun and enjoy the experience of the journey? Why would you want to waste that and only focus on getting to where you want to be? That's a horrible way to live. So it's really important that whatever you set out to do, that you keep that vision of success in your mind, and you find a way to be happy in the moment and be the happy leader, the happy warrior every single day, working your way towards, you know, this next level of dream that you have. That's the first thing, is that when you're creating a dream and you're chasing after it and you're chasing after goals, is constantly upgrade and update it. And don't forget to appreciate where the hell you're at. Now, the next piece of this, when it comes to goal setting and achievement and dream chasing, most of the things that you have in your mind that you want, you don't actually want. You want what you think that they mean. Okay, Justin, if I say, close your eyes and think about going to some place that you would love to experience. You know, if you didn't live where you live now, where would be a great place for you to live? What's the first state that comes to mind?
North Carolina.
Okay, boom. So he says North Carolina. What is it, when you think of North Carolina, what image comes up in your mind?
Nice weather.
Okay, good. So
I don't know if that's true at all, but that's what comes up in my mind.
Right. You think of sun. What else do you think of?
I think of, I don't know. I kind of think of like suburban kind of community, just like nice little peaceful area.
Okay.
Bunch of nice people around.
Nice neighbors.
Yeah.
Okay. Nice neighbors. Sun is out. Anything else that you think of with North Carolina?
Not necessarily.
When you picture yourself there and you picture yourself happy, what are you doing?
That's a good question. I'm at like a baseball game.
Okay, good.
In North Carolina.
So what this image is revealing is you've attached meaning to North Carolina for some reason. These are the things that you believe are there. You don't actually want to move to North Carolina. What you're really looking for is a nice, quiet neighborhood with good neighbors and an experience where you can be around baseball and have great weather.
Yeah.
Like, so what I'm saying here is that when you cast a vision, you cast a dream, and you're trying to create these goals that you want, you got to realize that what you're writing on paper and what you're putting down, the outcome and the result is not actually what you're after. You're after the feeling that you've attached to the outcome and result that you have inside of your mind. So if I say, Jeremiah, if I get inspired and I really want to go to California for some reason, I'm like, why is it that I want to go to California? Why do I want to move and live in California? And I think of California, I think of the sun, I think of the beaches, I think of some of the friends that I have there. And I realized that, oh, dude, you just want to be around the sun and beaches and some of your friends. Why don't you just take a trip out there and go hang out with them versus move your whole life there?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So it's really important that with somebody, when you're chasing something, is to spend some time getting clear about what you think you're going to find within the outcome that you're chasing. Because you could potentially get it a lot sooner than waiting 5 years, 10 years for that outcome to arrive. Like, Justin, maybe it takes you 10 years to move to North Carolina. But if you realize that these are some of the things that you want, you might be able to find that experience a little bit sooner. See what I'm saying?
Yeah. So do you kind of take the same thing, though? Let's translate that to careers. You know, maybe someone doesn't know what they want to do for their career. And for some people, this would be really hard. But are you an advocate of kind of testing the waters and a bunch of different things to kind of get a feel for what it is that you like to do? Or would you say that there's more to it than that, or that it's better to, like, you know, pick something and stick with it for a while? Like, how would you?
Yeah. First thing is that when you decide that you want to do something new, or that you want to try to experience life differently, first thing to remember is that the grass is never greener on the other side. It's always greener right where you water it, right? That's a cheesy saying, but it's so freaking true, man. I saw so many guys abandon their dreams because they were chasing the grass is greener on the other side. I've seen that over and over again. So you got to remember that first. Okay. You got to remember that everything looks easy from the outside. And so if you're constantly jumping ship and trying to chase the next easy thing, you're going to just be going in circles your whole life, right? The other part of this is that you got to be willing to do hard stuff and stuff that you don't want to do. You know, there's this belief on the internet that everything should be easy, and that success is easy, and that, you know, you should pursue your passions. And, like, yeah, I believe that you should pursue your passions, and things typically are not as complicated as people like them to be. But at the same time, the world owes you nothing. There is a huge problem with entitlement in the world. Like, people are like, I don't know what I want, but I want more money, and I'm not willing to work for it. Okay, well, what do you think that the result of that is going to be? You're not going to get the damn money. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to be willing to do the stuff you don't want to do. Get yourself to discipline yourself and work and work and work when you don't feel like it to get to the outcome. Those are important principles before we start talking about how to create a new reality and how to go to something different. Got to remember the grass isn't greener on the other side. I got to remember that I got to do hard stuff no matter where I go. Coming back to you, I was getting fired up on that. Take me back to your question. Hit me with your question again.
Yeah, hang on, you got me fired up too. So it's about the basically the idea of experimenting.
Oh.
Right? Yeah. You know, because, you know, shiny object syndrome, are you someone that says, like, go freaking dip your toes in the water and all the different things, or are you kind of more anti shiny object syndrome, so to speak?
Yeah.
We're saying, like, bro, you got to get a little more tunnel vision if you expect any of this to work.
Well, you do have to get you do at some point have to go deep before, like, in order to go deep, I think you need to go wide. I think you have to get a bunch of experience to figure out what is actually meant for you. At least that's what happened to me. The problem is that I think a lot of people jump into things that they see other people doing.
Yeah.
They jump into, like, I don't know how many people now own freaking Amazon dropshipping businesses, and they say how much money they're making, but their margins are like less than 5%. They're like not making any money. They're like, yeah, I made $20,000 this month. And I'm like, bro, what'd you take home? He's like, $1,000. I'm like, yeah, see? Yeah. Like, but that's usually a byproduct of people chasing what other people are doing and getting inspired by it. Now, to answer your question straightly and just bluntly, is that I do believe in dabbling and getting some experience, because you want it in life. To get where you want to go, you have to develop perspective, and you have to have context. You got to have an understanding and a depth of knowledge before you can decide to go all in, right? Like, if I'm a monk and I live as a monk my whole life, I'm not going to have a full understanding of all the options available to me in the world. Like, I got to go kind of try out some things to really open up my field of view and see the entire world to figure out what I like and I want to do. But then, yeah, at some point, a decision has to be made. The way I do this, people have seen me do this with MMA. When I got into MMA, I started dabbling with different, you know, boxing, kickboxing, jiu-jitsu, whatever. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, MMA is perfect for me. And I went deep into MMA. Like, that's how I liked it. That's how I've done entrepreneurship. That's how I did the military. So I think that it's a combination of the two. You just have to decide what you want to go deep into once you land it. And the way that I do that is I just ask myself, am I willing to do this to the end? Like, if you Conquer Academy, my agreement is that I'm going to get to the company to where I want it to go, or I'm going to die trying. That's it. That's my signed agreement with myself. Everybody knows that around me. And I had the same agreement when I joined the Ranger Regiment. I say, I'm going to try it to the last day. And if I don't get it, that's fine. But I'm going to strive and dare greatly. So a decision has to be made. And I think the way that you find the decision or make the decision and the commitment, I think a little bit of it is intuitive. But if you close your eyes, this is the thing. Your heart's desire is inside of you all the time. Okay. So Justin, what you want in life is inside of you. You may not be aware of it because a lot of times we repress it. We tell ourselves that the dream that I want is not realistic. So don't think about it. But if you would just relax, if everybody would just relax and ask themselves, what do I really want? What would be cool to have and what would be cool to experience? And they just close their eyes and allow their brain to deliver to them the images that they're holding on to, they're going to come up with things like you just did. You started thinking about North Carolina. All of a sudden, baseball popped up. Neighborhood popped up. I didn't put those images there. Those images are inside of you. So to get to a spot in life where you figure out what you want to go deep into, you want those images to come to your consciousness. You want to become aware of them. And then you want to start entertaining them and then go all in. So a simple way to describe what I'm describing to you, you want to change your life. First thing you do, step one, fantasize. Fantasize. Number two, theorize. So I fantasized about North Carolina. I built up an image in my mind. Then I started theorizing about it. How could I do that? How would I get there? And I start kind of playing around with a draft of a plan. Well, this is how I would do it, blah, blah, blah. And now through the theory, what ends up happening is you're going to eventually start taking action. So it goes fantasy, theory, results. That's all you really need, right? To change your reality and change the world that you're living in. Fantasize, turn it into a theory, action that theory, boom, get the results over and over and over again. Now, the trick of that is not losing focus as well, but.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, staying focused on it is a whole nother thing, but it's not incredibly difficult to do. You just have to take control of your thinking. And here's the last piece that I'll say on this, and then we can kind of wrap it up, is that whatever you want wants you, okay? And whatever you want is out there already. So, Justin, whatever results that you want in your life, whatever outcomes that you want, those things exist here on this planet already. They're here. You want more money. You want a different living situation. You want a different job. You want better, more business, whatever it is. All of those things are here. Like the ability to fly, the potential to fly, to have an airplane and fly in the sky as humans, that's always been here. The Wright brothers just use their imagination, they create a fantasy, they turn that into a theory, and then they created the results. They brought it all together. So they made it happen, right? So everything that you want is already here. You just have to be open to receiving it. Now, this is how creation works, co-creation as it's called, okay? If I'm over here at position A, over to the left, and what I want is over here, position Z, okay? The universe has what I want. Z is nested within the universe. It's the business, the job, the destination, whatever. And then me over here to the left at position A, I have to tell the universe what I want. I have to put in the order. I have to say, you know what? I want a new job. I want to go to North Carolina. I want whatever the hell it is. And then I got to build that image up in my mind. And then when that happens, A and Z, you actually start moving closer to each other. Okay, day in and day out, day in and day out, day in and day out. Now, what ends up happening, most people, when they start on their journey to getting what they want, they get to halfway down the alphabet. They get to the letter M. And when they get there, they see something else that excites them. They stop thinking about the dream. They start thinking about, I don't know, maybe it's the girl, maybe it's the stable home, whatever it is, but they give up on the dream. They sell themselves on the dream, or not sell themselves, but they get bought out from the dream. Something else buys them and takes them from it, and they stop looking at it, and the dream goes right past them. So what's important is that what you want is out there. And when you start making productive action towards it, you got to stay focused on it, but then you also have to stay ready to receive it. Okay. A lot of times what you want in life, the opportunity is showing up, but you're just not seeing it. Let me say that again. The opportunity that you're looking for is showing up, but you're not seeing it. An example of this, if I walked up to your house, Justin, and I had $10 million and you wanted the $10 million, you said, you know what? I want 10 million bucks. Boom. Give it to me, universe. I said, all right, guess what? Random event happens. I'm going to put that $10 million on your doorstep. But here's the thing. It's only going to be there for 10 minutes. I walk up to the doorstep. I ring the doorbell. You kind of see me, but you don't see what I set down. And at the moment I see, let's just say you're in Florida because that's where I'm at, and you're inside the house. I ring the doorbell and you look at me and you acknowledge me. But then all of a sudden something else catches your eye. There's a lizard, a giant iguana inside of the tree. And you look at the iguana, you're like, ah, you know what? I'll get that door later. Let me go over to the iguana. And you go over there and you go play with the iguana for a second. Then you come back 15 minutes later, you go open the door and there's no bag of money there and I'm gone. The point with that is that you weren't ready to receive. You weren't looking. You weren't looking for the money. The world is going to deliver to you the opportunities that you're looking for. But the thing is we're so stubborn as human beings that we don't expect it to get delivered to us in unexpected ways. We expect it to get delivered to us in the ways that we want. We say, you know what? I want the $10 million, but I don't expect it to come to my doorstep. I want somebody to hand it to me. I want to be transferred into my bank account, wake up and I'm super happy, yada, yada, yada. But that's not how it works. The universe is going to deliver to you your intention. It's going to deliver to you the feeling that you're casting out there, the wants, the desires. And then you have to see it in order to receive it. You have to welcome it and you have to meet. You have to, this is like manifestation. You have to meet the universe like a two-way street. You have to meet them as one. Meet it as one. See what I'm saying? Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes perfect sense.
What did it take? What did you take away from that?
To answer the damn door. Figuratively and literally.
Yeah, to be looking for it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And also, so yeah, I mean, it's really, how do I want to put this to? Like sometimes the tools are put right in front of you to build the thing you want, but you're expecting the thing you want to be put in front of you instead.
Yes. Well put. That's exactly right. It's not that they're sometimes there. They're always there.
Right.
They are always there. The ability to fly has always been here. We just materialized it. We just decided. We used our imagination. We started using our hands to build it and we created. So it's always here. What you want is always here. Okay. The key is your imagination. It's your invisible power.
Yeah.
Cool. All right, ladies and gentlemen, that's it for today's show. Justin, anything else before we close up?
Absolutely not.
Ladies and gentlemen, the main things I'll just hammer as we close this out is lead your life with a vision. Okay. If you're going through a little bit of a rut right now, recast your vision. If you've gotten some success right now, recast your vision. Start working on it. Upgrade it, update it, because through that, you'll find inspiration and be able to lead yourself and your team to victory. Until next time, be the leader.
I need some motivation. Motivation. Every day I try a little harder, but my dedication. Keep my head way, way above the water. Priding myself when I yell at the wall. Begging to run, but I needed to crawl. I see the finish line up ahead. Trying to get traction from all of this tread. I am a king. I am a queen. I am more than the people can see. I am strong when I'm needing to be. Vulnerability's nothing to me. You can try, but I'm unshakable. My successes is never debatable. I'm chameleon. I'm so interchangeable. Yes to you and all that you are capable. You gotta go hard, better.